In the first part of this film, we looked at the vital importance of the sensitive balances on the earth for life. We saw that even just one of these balances, with their extraordinary complex features and fine calculations, were missing, then life on Earth would disappear. The establishment of these sensitive balances, a product of God's incomparable art of creation, is just as much a miracle as their continuation. In this part, we shall be looking at other features of our world and the fine calculations on which they depend, and once again witnessing the power and creative artistry of God. The Sun, the nearest star to us. The temperature on this bubbling surface, with its explosions of energy, is 6,000 degrees centigrade. Further in towards the center, however, that figure rises to unimaginable levels. To 15 million degrees centigrade at the Sun's core. The energy produced at that mighty temperature is carried to the Sun's surface as heat and light. These are both of enormous importance to life on Earth. The light and heat that emerge as a result of the exceedingly complex nuclear reactions at the Sun's core have actually been designed with a surprising sensitivity to life. The heat and light produced in the Sun are actually different forms of the energy known as electromagnetic radiation. They move through space in the form of energy waves. There are considerable differences in the wavelengths of electromagnetic radiation. Some energy waves, radio waves for instance, have wavelengths as long as kilometers. Gamma rays, on the other hand, have wavelengths as short as 1/1,000,000,000 of a meter. In other words, the wavelengths of these waves have been distributed over an extraordinarily wide spectrum. It has been calculated that the longest wavelength is some 10 trillion trillion times the size of the shortest one. 10 trillion trillion is an unimaginable number, more than 1 billion billion million. We can more easily illustrate this with an example. If we placed 10 trillion trillion pieces of notepaper on top of one another, they would stretch halfway through the visible universe. Ten trillion, in other words, is a number that baffles the imagination. The curious thing about this, that the electromagnetic energy radiated by our sun is squeezed into an unbelievably narrow range of this giant spectrum. That range is the equivalent of just one sheet of notepaper from all those billion ones. But why is that? The answer to that question is most important, because the rays that can support life on Earth are only the rays within that range. In his book, Energy in the Atmosphere, the British physicist Ian Campbell addresses this question and says that the radiation from the sun and from many sequence stars should be concentrated into a minuscule band of the electromagnetic spectrum which provides precisely the radiation required to maintain life on Earth is very remarkable. Let us now have a closer look at this most extraordinary design in light. The electromagnetic energy given off by the sun serves two important functions from the point of view of living things. As heat energy, it heats the surface of the Earth and thus maintains the range within which living things can survive. As light energy, it serves as the vehicle for a great miracle, photosynthesis. Photosynthesis is the way green plants use the energy from the sun to create nourishment. Cells known as chloroplasts in their leaves carry out the most complex processes. Chloroplasts work just like a chemical laboratory, with several chain reactions taking place every second. The only production of nourishment in the world is the extraordinary chemical process carried out by plants. All other living things are nourished from this one source. When herbivores consume plants, they take in this energy that comes from the sun. Carnivores obtain the same energy by eating herbivores. We human beings obtain the same energy by means of both plants and animals. For that reason, every apple, potato, chocolate bar, or piece of steak we eat actually provides us with energy from the sun. Another very important result of photosynthesis is that it produces oxygen. Human beings and animals lower the level of oxygen in the atmosphere a little bit every time they breathe. Yet plants replace that oxygen by means of photosynthesis. In short, photosynthesis is a very well-designed process. There is complete equilibrium between photosynthesis and human and animal energy consumption. Plants supply glucose and oxygen. We burn the glucose and the oxygen in our cells. In that way, we are able to obtain and use the solar energy that plants store in glucose. As a result of this, we produce carbon dioxide as a waste product and give it off into the atmosphere. Yet this carbon dioxide can be reused by plants for photosynthesis. This perfect cycle constantly continues in just this manner. In order to see the flawless harmony with which this process was created, let us concentrate on just one of the factors within that process. Sunlight. We have already said that light from the sun was specially designed for life on Earth. This important adjustment appears once again when we examine photosynthesis, because the process can only be carried out with sunlight and no other. In his book, The Symbiotic Universe, the American astronomer George Greenstein writes, "Chlorophyll is the molecule that accomplishes photosynthesis. The mechanism of photosynthesis is initiated by the absorption of sunlight by a chlorophyll molecule. But in order for this to occur, the light must be of the right color. Light of the wrong color won't do the trick. A good analogy is that of a television set. In order for the set to receive a given channel, it must be tuned to that channel. Tune it differently and the reception will not occur. It is the same with photosynthesis. The sun functioning as the transmitter in the analogy, and the chlorophyll molecule as the receiving TV set. If the molecule and the sun are not tuned to each other, tuned in the sense of color, photosynthesis will not occur. As it turns out, the sun's color is just right. In short, there is a compatibility between sunlight and photosynthesis that cannot possibly be the result of chance. That compatibility shows us that the same infinitely powerful creator actually created the sun, the earth, and everything in it. That infinitely powerful creator is the Almighty God. Right from the beginning of this film, we have been looking at various features of the sun, and we saw how these had been specially designed to support life. Yet there is another factor in this regard which we have not yet dealt with. The sun's rays have to overcome one very important obstacle before reaching the Earth's surface: the atmosphere. If the atmosphere did not possess the kind of structure to allow those rays through, then they would be no use to us, of course. The really interesting thing is not so much that the atmosphere allows beneficial sunlight to pass, but that sunlight is the only radiation that it allows through. Because as the atmosphere allows those rays necessary for life to pass, it also blocks all those rays that would otherwise be fatal. It is impossible to ignore the artfulness of this design. The sun sends only 1/10,000,000,000,000,000,000th of the whole range of electromagnetic radiation that could be sent. That happens to be the range that is good only for us, and that is the radiation that the atmosphere lets through. Commenting on this situation, Encyclopedia Britannica admits how extraordinary it all is. Considering the importance of visible sunlight for all aspects of terrestrial life, one cannot help being awed by the dramatically narrow window in that atmosphere absorption and in the absorption spectrum of water. Materialist philosophy claims that human life appeared in the universe by chance, and that it is an accident with no purpose whatsoever. However, the facts that have emerged as science advances shows that there is actually a design and plan in every detail of the universe. It is such a design that even such a component as light, which one might never have thought about before, is so clearly just right that one can't help but be amazed. Trying to account for such careful design as accidental is totally irrational. Such extraordinarily fine-tuning as this can be explained not by chance, but only by intelligent design. This, in turn, shows that God has created and ordered the whole universe in a manner compatible with life. This conclusion that science has led to is something that people were taught in the Quran 14 centuries ago. Science shows that sunlight was created for us. In other words, that it was placed at our service. God stated this in the Quran in these terms: the sun and the moon both run with precision. God is He who created the heavens and the earth and sends down water from the sky, and by it brings forth fruits as provision for you. He has made the sun and the moon subservient to you, holding steady to their courses. And He has made the night and day subservient to you. He has given you everything you have asked Him for. If you tried to number God's blessings, you could never count them. Man is indeed wrongdoing, ungrateful. We have so far seen the magnificent features of sunlight and witnessed God's creative artistry. In this section, we shall be concentrating on another vital issue and seeing another instance of design, the design in water. Much of the earth is covered in water. The oceans and seas represent some 3/4 of the earth's surface. There are also countless lakes and rivers on land. The snow that covers the peaks of the high mountains is merely frozen water. An important part of the world's water is actually in the sky. Clouds contain millions of tons of water in the form of vapor. Even the air you are breathing at this moment contains a certain amount of water vapor. Furthermore, water makes up some 70% of the human body. There is more water in our cells than anything else. Most of the blood that flows through our body is also water. In short, there can be no life without water. Water has been specially designed as the foundation of life and is a substance whose physical and chemical features have been created for life. Let us now together have a look at some of the surprising characteristics of water. Like all known substances, liquids also contract and lose volume as their temperature falls. As volume falls, density increases, making the cold areas heavier. That is why liquids are heavier in frozen form than in liquid. Yet water, unlike all other known liquids, grows heavier until it reaches 4 degrees, at which point everything changes. After this, the water begins to expand and it becomes lighter as the temperature drops. So water is lighter in its frozen state than as a liquid. According to the laws of physics, ice should be heavier than normal water, but it is actually lighter. That surprising fact has one very important result. Ice thus floats on water, and that is of vital importance. There are many places in the world where the temperature falls below 0 degrees centigrade in winter. Such cold naturally affects seas and lakes. The surface water freezes at 0 degrees centigrade. Yet only the surface freezes. The layer below, at 4 degrees centigrade, is enough for fish and other water dwellers to survive. Ice transmits very little of the cold in the air to the water layer beneath it. That is why, even if outside temperatures are as low as minus 50 degrees, the ice layer never exceeds 1 or 2 meters. This allows seals, bears, and other polar creatures to make holes in the ice and reach the sea beneath. What would happen if things were different, if the ice sank to the bottom? In that event, the oceans, seas, and lakes would begin to freeze from the bottom up. Freezing from the bottom up would continue right up to the top, since there was no ice layer on the surface to keep back the cold. That would mean many of the world's lakes, seas, and oceans turning into giant blocks of ice. A layer of water a few meters thick would remain on the surface, and even if air temperatures rose, the ice at the bottom would never melt. It would be impossible for land-dwelling creatures to exist in an ecological system in which the seas were lifeless. In short, if water behaved like other liquids, the Earth would be a dead planet. Yet, thanks to God's might and flawless creation, our world is actually a planet teeming with life. Water's different thermal properties also play a major role in the Earth's having a warm and balanced climate. Thanks to water's molecular properties, the seas warm up and cool down slower than the land. That means that while the temperature difference between the hottest and coldest places on land can reach as high as 140 degrees centigrade, the difference is no more than 15 to 20 degrees in the sea. The same thing also applies to day and night temperature differences. The difference in temperature between day and night is 20 to 30 degrees in dry regions, but only a few degrees in the sea. And not just the seas. The water vapor in the air also establishes a very great balance. One result of this is that the temperature difference between day and night is greater in deserts, where there is less water vapor, than in regions close to the sea, where there is more. Thanks to these unique thermal properties of water, the temperature difference between summer and winter, or day and night, are kept within limits that all living things can endure. If there were less water than land on Earth, or if the thermal properties of water were a little different, then the difference between day and nighttime temperatures would rise. Most land regions would turn into deserts, and life would become impossible. Alongside all these physical properties of water, its chemical properties are also extraordinarily ideal for life. Foremost among these properties is that it is an excellent solvent. Nearly all chemical substances are soluble in water. The most important effect of this on life can be seen in rivers. Countless beneficial minerals and similar chemicals are carried to the sea by means of rivers. In this way, some 5 billion tons of chemical substances are carried to the sea every year. These substances are essential for life in the oceans. Another chemical property of water is that its chemical reactivity is at the ideal level. Water is neither an excessively reactive and thus destructive chemical like sulfuric acid, nor an inert substance like argon that enters into no reactions at all. The compatibility of water's chemical properties with life emerges in even more detail with every new piece of research. Harold Marowitz, the well-known professor of biophysics at Yale University, makes the following comment. The past few years have witnessed the developing study of a newly understood property of water, that is, proton conductance, that appears to be almost unique to that substance, is a key element in biological energy transfer, and was almost certainly of importance to the origin of life. The more we learn, the more impressed some of us become with nature's fitness in a very precise sense. It is clear how important water is for human life. In fact, in many verses of the Quran, God has drawn attention to the fact that water has been given to man as a great blessing and has been made constant on the earth. We sent down a measured amount of water from heaven and lodged it firmly in the earth, and we are well able to remove it. By means of it, we produce gardens of dates and grapes for you, in which there are many fruits for you and from which you eat. He who created the heavens and the earth, and sends down water for you from the sky by which we make luxuriant gardens grow, you could never make their trees grow. Is there another deity besides God? No, indeed, but they are people who equate others with Him. He who made the earth a stable dwelling place, and appointed rivers flowing through its midst, and placed firmly embedded mountains on it, and set a barrier between the two seas. Is there another deity besides God? No, indeed, but most of them do not know it. Whenever liquid is mentioned, one immediately thinks of a very fluid substance. Whereas, the fact is that the viscosity levels of liquids differ greatly. For instance, the viscosities of tar, glycerine, olive oil, and sulfuric acid are all very different. Enormous differences emerge when these liquids are compared. That is because water is 10 billion times more fluid than tar, 1,000 times more than glycerine, 100 times more than olive oil, and 25 times more than sulfuric acid. So what is the importance of water's low level of viscosity for us? If this vital liquid were a little more or less viscous, would it make a great difference to us? Professor of microbiology Michael Denton supplies the answer. If the viscosity was higher, the controlled movement of large macromolecules and particularly structures such as mitochondria and small organelles would be impossible, as would processes like cell division. All the vital activities of the cell would be effectively frozen, and cellular life of any sort remotely resembling that with which we are familiar would be impossible. The development of higher organisms, which is critically dependent on the ability of cells to move and crawl around during embryogenesis, would certainly be impossible if the viscosity of water was even slightly greater than it is. Water's low viscosity is essential not only for cellular motion, but also for the circulatory system. There are a large number of cells in the body, and the air and energy taken in from outside need to be pumped to the cells by a number of tubes, and waste products need to be collected by others. These tubes are the vessels of the circulatory system. The heart is the pump responsible for circulation within those vessels. The substance that flows in them is the liquid we know as blood, the fundamental component of which is water. The duty of the vessels is to carry essential substances such as oxygen, energy, nutrition, and hormones to every cell in the body. The total length of the average 5 billion capillary vessels in our bodies is some 950 kilometers. In some mammals, there may be as many as 3,000 open capillaries in just 1 square millimeter of muscle tissue. It is thanks to the low viscosity of water that blood is able to circulate in our vessels without becoming congested or slowing down. Michael Denton explains that if water's viscosity were just a bit more than what it is, the blood circulatory system would be completely useless. A capillary system will work only if the fluid being pumped through its constituent tubes has a very low viscosity. A low viscosity is essential because flow is inversely proportional to the viscosity. From this, it is easy to see that if the viscosity of water had a value only a few times greater than it is, pumping blood through a capillary bed would require enormous pressure, and almost any sort of circulatory system would be unworkable. If the viscosity of water had been slightly greater, and the smallest functional capillary